With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
Summer is supposed to be an opportunity to slow down, but when you look at your kids, you can't help but notice that your kids are growing up fast. Help them build independence as they grow with Greenlight. Greenlight is a debit card and money app for families where parents can keep an eye on kids' money habits while kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely. It's the easy, convenient way to raise financially smart kids. Get your first month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/pod.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Grip Lock, Foundation Disc Golf's weekly podcast. I'm Hunter, joined as always by Trevor. We're in Fresno, California right now.
Dirty Fres.
Chilling in a hotel bed yet again. It is freezing in our room, so
it's
I'm under the covers.
It's not that cold.
It is so cold. It is 52 degrees. This episode is presented by Flippy Disc Golf, so shout out to them. They're a huge reason we're on the West Coast.
Shout out, Aaron.
We've got one more day out here. Tomorrow is our last full day, and then we fly home first thing Wednesday morning. I am ready to be home.
If you thought the last episode of Grip Lock was like borderline a little silly because we were sitting on the hotel bed, well, now it's been another week of us being out
here.
It's
another
week
of us on the road, and it's 9 o'clock West Coast time, which means it's midnight internal body clock time.
You can't still do that.
You can't still do that. It's been 12 days. The Zootown Open went down this past weekend. We played a lot of disc golf. Well, we're going to walk you through the disc golf we've played. Are the courses on the West Coast we've gotten to experience.
Don't undersell it. It's the official West Coast Disc Golf Review.
It is our official West Coast Disc Golf Review. We'll talk through the Zootown Open results and also about Paul in Europe, a little Trevor's trivia, and then what we're going to expect at De La tomorrow. Which actually, when this comes out, you're probably watching it while we're at De La, being stoned by the locals.
Like by throwing
by
stones.
Throwing of stones. Yes.
There you go. I'm just gonna clarify that.
We're probably being literally someone came up to me at the course today or yesterday. It all blends together. One of the courses that we were at, someone came up and they were like, "Do you think they're gonna let y'all on the property at Daylight?" I was like, "No, I don't. I'll be surprised, but I'm hopeful. I'm very excited. Daylight's the course.
I'm a little scared.
Daylight's the course I think I'm most excited for on this whole trip.
We haven't run into a mob yet.
Yeah, I'm very excited to play De La.
We've been in California now.
It's going to be great. It's going to be a great time. Holy crap, I'm tired. Let's go over the Zootown Open. Let's go over the Zootown Open results here. The MPO only played two rounds. Round three got canceled due to weather.
I hate that, dude.
I hate when that happens, too.
It's a bummer. And you know what I hate the most? I hate it the most because Evan Scott probably had this thing locked up.
Yeah, so Evan Scott took it down by four strokes through two rounds again. Round three was canceled. This is his first silver event win of his career.
What is that, Hunter? Where does a two-round silver event rank in your... Like, how much... What percentage of a win does that count as?
On the Pro Tour?
No, don't do that. Just...
Zero. Just, as a win?
Yeah, just as
that
a win.
That is...
Like, if Pro Tour win quality is 100%...
Pro Tour win quality is 100%.
If, like...
Silver zero, because they're on different scales.
Okay, just...
Where's a C tier on this scale?
Give me
the bottom
Tour,
and top.
If Elite Series...
Okay,
let's say...
Majors
100.
Where's a C tier?
Elite Series is, like, 95 or 90.
Okay.
C tier would be, like... On this scale, would be like 10% or
10%?
Less.
So where's a silver event fit?
That's where I'm asking you. Where's a silver event and where's a two-round silver event?
So an Elite...
I would say normally a silver event probably comes in at like 50%.
Okay, so if a silver event is at 50%, I would say a two-round silver event's like 40%.
Okay, I just was curious to know.
40%?
I would give him like an extra bump and a couple percentage points because
he was up
by
four.
Yeah, it's not like
it's
he
It's similar
was...
to when Big Germ won USDGC. Or when Colton Montgomery won Waco.
Big Germ was not up by four, was he, though?
No, but it was a major.
Yeah, but I almost credit it more being a silver series because you're not as likely to choke away a silver.
He was not likely to choke it away. Clay Edwards was in second place.
At Winthrop.
He
shredded,
AB
though.
And Ty Love were tied for third.
These
Evan
silver
Scott,
events
this isn't going to be Evan Scott's only win in his career. of any caliber. The kid's good. He's like 18 years old. So yes,
these
it was
silver
a,
events
it was
kind of weird because like there's some dogs out there. And I don't know if they just go out there goofing around, but like there's some really good players.
Well, Kevin
that
Jones
aren't
played the course
these.
Blind.
Well, I'm just saying like Gannon was there as
Gannon,
well.
Gannon, yeah, I don't know. And Gannon was there. I know AB, I just read his name.
Right.
Like Hamiz was there somewhere.
There's players there. And
let's just look at the strength of field. Let's
I mean,
go.
Oh, I'm not saying like that.
Stat Mando.
The strength of field definitely wasn't good. I'm just saying like there are good players there. And I feel like the silver events, sometimes they can just be kind of sporadic.
Let's just go. Stat Mando, field strength for 2023 MPO.
Christian just wins those too.
And, oops, swiped the wrong way.
Couldn't have been strong.
Let's see here.
I bet it's probably one of the weakest ones yet.
What was this event called? The
Zootown Open.
The Zootown Open.
It's definitely not that low down. If it's on there, it would be up there.
Discraft, Innova. It's because they have like all the sponsors in there. Search Zoo. Zoo City opens on here. Zoo Town Open is not on here yet.
It's not on there yet.
It's that Mando, guys. What happened?
What the heck?
Happened 48 hours ago.
That's... Your disc would never.
Tough. I mean, anyways, Evan Scott, he played very solid. Took down the silver event win. And you got to credit Evan Scott with a silver event win. Regardless, you can put it with an asterisk, just like we always do with Big Germ's USDGC win. But both Evan Scott and Big Germ played the golf that they could play, and they won.
Hey.
So, I mean, what else are they supposed to do?
I mean...
Nothing.
Yeah.
They did what was asked of the entire field, and they came out on top. On the FPO side, Kristen Tatar continued her dominance, won by four strokes over Missy Gannon, with Katrina Allen coming in third. I believe Paige Pierce was not out there.
Correct. She was not. Holy cow.
Dang, dude, you're struggling.
She was not out there. So, just something to note.
We're only one event away now. Well, like the next event, we get the return of Val Mandahano.
Yeah, this upcoming weekend, DDO. The Dynamic Disc Open goes down, and that is the return of Val Mandahano. And it'll be very curious to see what form she's going to be in. We'll talk through all of that on the preview show.
Yeah.
But to give you a little glimpse into where my mind's at right now, not really seeing her throw, I'm just expecting her to kind of come in and be a top, like, 7 or 8. Is where I'm kind of expecting it to be.
I would expect.
I don't think that she'll quite come in and just like compete for a win right off the bat. Especially, I don't think DDO is super her strength as a course. Well, as a tournament, I guess I should say, because there's multiple courses. But I still think that she's going to be good enough. It'll be interesting to see what this injury has done, but I still think she'll be good enough that she'll be able to get in there, make some noise, and like make her presence felt.
Revenge
in the
game.
FPO field.
Is it a revenge game?
Against what?
DDO. Against Dynamic.
Oh.
She left.
It could be.
Kind of a revenge game.
It could be a revenge game.
Probably something to look at.
Now, last
Very
week.
Very statistically correct.
Last week, we were talking about Paul's start in Europe. It did not go as planned.
Oh, my gosh.
I can't do it. I'm so tired. It did not go as planned. For really anyone, no one expected what happened. Paul did not play very good at all. Told us nothing about the European Open or the European field over there.
And then he ran to a new European tour.
Well, this was always a plan. So he moved from the European Pro Tour to the Euro Tour.
I didn't realize that was happening.
Yeah, so the Euro Tour is what I think Paul's playing on from here on out until the Pro Tour comes over there. He won this one by 8 strokes over Yakub Cimarod.
Who's a beast.
And Scott Stokely came in third.
Shout out, Scott.
So
shout out Scott Stokely. That man
Silver
is
Lot
old.
Came in fourth.
And this field looks a little bit less recognizable, but Yakub Cimarod is legit. He's very legit. And he beat him by 8. So he played well.
Yeah, so Paul played well. When you factor in the first week and the second week, it again tells us nothing about the European field. In my opinion.
I hope we go. Well, yeah, I mean, I'm not really learning much. I want him to go back to the other field.
The Nokia Open is what went down in the other field. We had Lauri Lehtinen taking it down. With Daniel Davidson and Mari Vilman tying in second, 1 stroke behind him.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
The tour hopping.
I think he stays on Euro Tour.
You're a disaster.
I'm dying from here on out. I think he stays on Euro Tour. So West Coast disc golf is what has caused my exhaustion. Over the last 12 days now, we have played 18 rounds of disc golf over the last 12 days total.
I have no idea.
6 monthly matches and 12 bogey row battles, and we have 2 more bogey row battles to go.
6 monthly matches. Surely not.
Oh, we've done them all, and we were supposed to play 6 and 14.
We played...
We played one in Kennewick, Washington, and then Twin Falls, Idaho.
Twin Falls.
And then Cedar Cities, Utah.
Yeah.
And then Hualapai.
Yeah.
And...
5. So we played 5.
We played 5.
Yeah.
We were supposed to play 6.
Oh, what are your... Yeah. We had to take one out, remember?
That was the 7th. We were going to do 21 originally.
Well, maybe we're... Well, I don't... There was no other ones on the schedule.
So we flew in...
We got to get back out there.
We did Kennewick, Washington.
Yeah. We definitely didn't play any more than the ones you just named.
And then...
But, I mean, that was
from Washington, we were going to Boise, Idaho from there.
I could read it to you straight off the itinerary.
And then we went down in Idaho.
It makes it a lot easier for you.
Went to Utah, down in Utah.
Okay.
Over to Nevada.
We've got 1 monthly match, 2 monthly match, 3 monthly match, 4 monthly match, 5 monthly match. That's it.
Oh. So I lied.
It was never...
Man, we're kind of weak. We're only doing 19 rounds of disc golf.
Yeah.
Originally, we were supposed to do 14 rounds of bogey row battles and 7 monthly matches. And we must have cut it back to 5 at some point. Doesn't matter. A lot of disc golf's been played. And in a lot of different states. So, I don't know where we did the podcast from last week.
Last time it was in Ogden.
We were in Ogden, so we just started the tour. Mm-hmm. So now we are basically at the end of the tour. Tomorrow we have De La Viega, and then we have a golf course. I don't know what it is.
Boulder Creek. Apparently it's a hidden gem near Santa Cruz.
So, that's what we're playing tomorrow.
We got a tee time.
So we flew into Portland. Portland battles. We did Timber Park and then Milo MacGyver. How do we want to rate everything? Do we want to give each a score, or do we want to try to rank them from best to worst?
Definitely not that. I think we each give out a score, a fun score, and a overall like course design score. Because
out of 10?
Because out of 10. Because like fun score doesn't necessarily mean the course is actually like an amazing design.
Okay, so Timber Park is our first bogey row battle.
Yeah.
Fun score, 8 out of 10. Like safe spot.
Okay.
I had fun.
You're giving your own rankings.
Yeah, I went 8 out of 10.
Okay, my fun score for Timber, I'll give that a 7 out of 10.
Okay. Overall course design, I think it was a bit short, not a lot of OB. So out of 10... But it was a very well manicured course, which I think goes into course design. Wasn't super, super challenging. I'm trying to think through the holes. Had a few that challenged you. I'll go 7-8. 7-5. I'll go 7-5. 7-5.
I'll give it a 5 out of 10.
Okay. Next we go to
Milo.
We played...
Keep the itinerary up because we'll definitely have trouble recalling this.
We played the Milo, the Beaver Safe Fling layout.
Mm-hmm.
I think that kind of hurt us a little bit, to be completely honest with you. We didn't get lost, but it was hard to get your bearings. So we were actually playing with the assistant TD, very nice guy, very helpful for Beaver Safe Fling. And he showed us around, but it made it where we were jumping around a lot.
The round took 4 hours out there. Kind of brutal.
Fun score. What did I give the first one?
You gave the first one an 8.
I think 7-8 out of 10. I had slightly less fun.
I would give the fun score 'cause it was a long round, but there were some really good holes. I would give it a 7 out of 10.
I guess I need to go back to the first part because I need to just take out... I'm thinking of like Timber Park. I'm thinking of what was capable at that property and what they got out of it.
Uh-huh.
But that shouldn't exactly be how I think about a course design score.
No.
So I'm going to go back to the first one. I'm going to give it a 6-2 because I got to go overall course design in the grand scheme of things.
Okay.
So 6-2 Timber Park. Now we're back to course design at Milo. The problem I had with Milo, at least the layout we played, I felt like it asked me to throw the exact same blind tee shot, for my skill level at least, over and over and over and over again.
There's a lot of pushing hyzers.
There's a lot of hyzers
corners
that I needed to flip up a little bit, but not too much, and that should set me up for some type of approach into a green that was guarded. It was a gorgeous course. It was iconic. There was a lot of very cool shots. I was a little underwhelmed in comparison to my expectations for the course.
Yes.
But I need to obviously take that out of it and just go course design. It's tough because I want to know. I don't feel like pros have the same problem we ran into, because I feel like if you had more distance, then you wouldn't be throwing the same shot over and over and over.
It still has a lot of holes that demanded a right to left shot around a blind corner.
It did.
I'll give the course design a 6.5.
I think it was a little better than Timber Park. I'll go 6.9 out of 10. Okay. 6.9.
Next course was, are we just going to do the battles or we'll do them all? Oh,
I think just do the battles.
Okay.
Should we do them all?
Probably just do the battles.
Let's just do the battles.
Next
battle
battles. Course was Ann Morrison Park, and this was in
Boise, Idaho. So this is a fun, very park-style course. It was definitely worth playing if you're in the Boise area.
Yeah.
It had actually some good challenges. I think they used the park very well. Even had some water shots. Now I'm thinking back through it over a little river action. I think fun... wise, I had a great time out there. I'm gonna go with a 8.4 out of 10. Fun wise,
yeah, pretty fun course. I'll give it an 8 out of 10 for fun.
Course design wise, in the grand scheme of all disc golf courses in general, it was definitely a well designed course. It was a pretty well kept course, not super demanding. It had a few tough shots. One par four that was like a little too demanding. It was just kind of like everyone's going to four it realistically, I felt like, if I'm thinking back correctly. I already forgot what I gave the other courses.
You
so
just
I just
got to
go with head. Go with feel here. And Morrison Park, I'm going to go with a 6.7 out of 10.
Yeah, course design... it's pretty creative, honestly. I'll give this one a 7.5. Pretty
okay.
Creative. Next was Eagle Island, also in Boise.
So this one was in the wilderness, if you will.
Yeah.
Very much introduced us to the desert. Very sandy, very like not dead grass, but like kind of everything looked dead.
Yeah.
It's tough to like when I'm thinking of how much fun I had. It's like tough to remove the atmosphere from the course because like I had a great time playing that course, but it was because like the people we played were a lot of fun. The crowd was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I don't think if I went out by myself, I would have a ton of fun playing that course.
Nope.
So I think I'm going to go more that route. Like the previous parks, I would have fun by myself playing. This one, I don't think I would super enjoy, especially if I was off a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I'm going to go 4.9. Fun scale.
Yeah, I'll give it a 4.5.
Again, that is if I went out and played by myself. If I'm ranking it based on who was there and how much fun we had playing the battle, it would be closer to like an 8 or 9. Mm-hmm. But I'm just thinking if I went back to that course and played by myself, there could be some nightmare scenarios that would happen out there.
Oh, yeah.
Now, course design-wise, you got to factor that in, especially like if a new player went out there, it could be torture. I mean, there was hemlock, and we were learning hemlock could kill you 10 different ways.
I mostly just thought the design, there were some holes that were designed really well, but then there were a lot of holes that were pretty repetitive, like just crash into trees, basically. A lot of blind shots. I would give the design a 5 out of 10.
Yeah, I think I'll go I think I'll go 5.3 out of 10 because there was some really creative hole designs, but there was just so much trouble that was just like, it's not like... oh, no, I'm in trouble. It's like, I'm not getting that disc back unless I sacrifice my life.
Very much the case. Yeah.
Literally your life.
If they cut that course
the wilderness
more,
out there wanted to kill you.
If they
literally
cut that course in more, it could be something. Okay, now we move on to Utah.
Ogden, Utah,
and we start
baby.
With River Park.
River Park was not great, to be completely straightforward with you. Mm. It was a lot of blind shots. I had to run up... again, fantastic gallery, super fun group
probably
to play against.
Probably one of the best galleries you had,
but I got to take that out. If I went out there by
myself...
If you're
in the gallery of any of these courses, it's nothing to do. We love meeting every one of you.
If I went out there by myself, I don't think I would have a great time. I think I'd have a better time than I did at the last course I just ranked, but I don't remember what I ranked at, so I'm going to go 5.8.
Yeah, I'd give this one like a 4 out of 10.
Now, course design-wise,
pretty similar to the last one in the fact that it was a little repetitive and a lot of blind shots.
Yeah, it was repetitive, a lot of blind shots. Nature didn't want to kill you here, which was good. A
couple good holes.
No
signature holes, though, really. There wasn't a lot to look at. I
don't think it filmed very well.
Yeah, I'll give us a 4 out of 10 for that as well.
Oh, you went 4 out of 10 course design?
Yeah.
I don't know what I went with the last one, but I feel like about a 5.2 out of 10. Feels good.
Listen, things might sound a little grim at this point, but we're getting to some spicy ones because now we got Jolly's Ranch.
Jolly's Ranch was a great time. This is a park-style course, middle of nowhere, realistically. Actually, it was only like 15 minutes from civilization, but you didn't have cell reception.
It wasn't too crazy.
Bottom of a bunch of like really sick mountains.
Yeah.
This is where we posted the video of us throwing through the tube.
Mm-hmm.
Us throwing through the tube. Gosh, I'm tired, man. I'm losing it. This was a very, very fun course. Very fun park style course. Some good bomber holes. Grass was a little overgrown in places, but apparently it's not typically like that. There was a really wet winter. So I don't want to hold that against it too much. Fun scale, 8.5 out of 10.
I would give this a 9 out of 10.
Yeah.
Very fun. Very fun course. Course design, I'm going to also give it a 9 out of 10.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah.
I think course design-wise, it's definitely up there.
It wasn't repetitive at all.
No.
Some very well-designed holes, mm-hmm. some creative greens.
It used the creek very well that ran through it.
Yeah.
There was one or two. I'm going to dock it a little bit because towards the end, there was one or two holes that I was like,
there's a couple fillers.
What are we thinking here?
Yeah.
And
I'll give it an 8.5. I'll dock it a little bit.
I think I'm going to go 8.2. 8.2. Of the courses we played so far, it is the best course of the ones on the list so far.
Yeah, really good.
So 8.2 out of 10 feels right.
Okay, we're going to do one honorable mention, monthly match course, because this course was breathtaking, and that is Thunderbird Gardens. I'll give this one a fun rating of 10 out of 10 and a course design. I'm actually going to give it a 7 out of 10 because, like, for what the property was.
You can't think what the property was. You got to go in the grand scheme. I got in trouble with that earlier.
Well, that's your criteria.
Oh, that's fair.
I'm just saying, like, considering the length of the course, I'll say that. Considering the length of the course, it was a really well-designed short course.
It was very well-designed for a short course, yeah.
And I don't think a short course makes it a
fun,
bad course.
Fun, I'll agree. Actually, just to be a little different, a little edgy, I'll go 9.9
out of
10.
You're so edgy.
But, yeah, incredibly fun course. It felt like illegal to be playing where we were playing.
It was pretty amazing.
Course design-wise, only problem is it was short, and there was also some chances of your disc going down literal canyons.
Not too bad, though. Only a few holes.
So I'll go 8.8 course design-wise.
Okay. Really good course.
Very good course.
Okay, on to Vegas. Wild Horse.
Wild Horse, fun, 10 out of 10.
Fun.
This course,
I'll give this one a 10 out of 10 for fun.
We're going to park here for a second.
And I'll give it a 10 out of 10 for design.
Okay, well, let's not...
I'm doing it.
Well, 10 out of 10 means there can't be a better course ever.
On this list?
We're going in scope of this list.
For me, that's what I'm doing.
Okay. We are on two completely different scales.
That's okay.
Okay. Because I'm going...
Scales are never going to be the same. We don't think the same.
Well, I'm going in the grand scheme of like all course design. And so there will never be a 10 out of 10.
That's
because
fine.
That would mean I don't think there can ever be a perfect course.
Well, I'll say this right now. I have played a lot of the so-called best courses in the country up to this point. This is better.
I would agree. I agree with that statement.
I'm okay with making it a 10 for right now.
So fun ranking, 10 out of
10. I can change my ratings.
Fun ranking, 10 out of 10 for sure. So first off, this course, golf. It's on a golf course. It's where LVC is. We got to play the end of a course, pretty much the whole end of a course. We played a few of, I think it was the infinite holes or millennium holes to begin, and then the whole end of a course. Definitely a sick video you're not going to miss. We were treated so well out here, which immediately bumped up how we felt about the course. But
for sure,
it wasn't just us. It was disc golf in general.
Yeah, we were in good spirits.
Like when you drive onto the property, this is freaking June. Okay. LVC happened back in February. They still have Innova flags up the whole way into the property. Not the, like, feather flags, but like on the like
light
posts.
This isn't like a golf course. Like a lot of golf courses you see putting in disc golf courses are like not really doing so hot with the golf situations. They're like, let's try disc golf. This is a really nice golf course.
Yeah, it was incredible golf course.
Really nice.
And so pulling into the property, first thing we noticed was that. Then you go into the pro shop and they like tastefully integrated disc golf into their pro shop.
You can buy Terex shoes.
You could buy disc golf shoes right next to the golf shoes. They had a nice selection of discs. The food was extremely reasonably priced. Like, heck, I got yeah. four chicken tenders and fries, and it was like $10.
Unreal.
Yeah. Which, especially, I mean, we've been on the West Coast for 2 weeks. I don't think I need to tell you, four chicken tenders and a bunch of fries for $10 is pretty unreal. Then let's get to the actual golf course. First off, golf carts, $15 for a round. We've played some pay-to-play courses. And, again, we've played pay-to-play courses where we don't expect anything ever for free when we show up. We're there to film. We're there to do our job. But we've played pay-to-play courses that they've made each of us and the battle people we're playing pay $25 a head, plus pay $15 for Connor to walk with us to film. So we've paid $115 for an experience that was well worse than what we got at Wild Horse, which $15 a head, golf cart, that's what, if you walk onto the property, that's your price.
Yeah.
They let us play for free, which was always extremely grateful for.
Yeah.
And they went above and beyond. They even, like, now this isn't typical, but they even moved the women's golf weekly that goes on there to the other side of the course so that we could play the end of a course that morning.
It was crazy.
It was incredible. Like, we typically, you've probably experienced this, as a disc golfer walking onto a golf course.
You're like a hostile.
You're the outsider. You are like, they don't really want you to be there. It was just like the owners struggling a little bit. So they're like, oh, let's try this Frisbee thing. But then all the golf workers are like, frick these Frisbee guys.
Yeah.
That was not this scenario.
No. John Waddington, that was my contact there. I didn't even realize this until we got there, but he's literally the GM of the course, and he was just treated us so nicely. And $15 out there, and I don't think a lot of people maybe realize that you can play the course out there any time of the year. It's always in. And $15 out there, and you're going to be playing a perfectly manicured property because they obviously have it completely in shape for golf. So we're talking about, you know, irrigated fairways, just like everything is cut super nicely. Like, I mean, just like throwing disc golf shots on those perfectly manicured fairways and having your run-ups like perfect spots. Like, yeah, it's a great time. So
yeah,
cannot say enough about the positive experience.
Now,
there.
Let's get to the course design. So 10 out of 10 fun rating, period. I would go back out there every day if I could.
Yeah.
Course design wise, it's going to be well up there as well. What they did here, it does not come through on camera how much it challenges you each and every shot. It is so so well thought out.
The greens
to where
are so
even
creative.
The simplest upshot, it makes you sweat.
Yeah.
Every hole you had to think through every shot. You were golfing out there. You were playing golf out there. It was incredible. Like, you, it wasn't just, okay, well, it's a golf course, so just chuck it down the fairway and throw a hyzer here and then another easy hyzer and tap out from a birdie. No, you were constantly thinking through what angle you got to land a disc on because it's on a hill, and then there's hazards really close to the basket that make you think, like, I can't swing it too far wide or short, or, like, there's a drop-off to OB right behind the basket. Like, every single shot challenged you in a different way. I never felt like, oh, I mean, sure, if you're asking for big distance, I have a certain disc I'm going to do that with, but a lot of times it was like, I need to make sure this goes more right this time or more left. I never felt like I was being asked to throw the same shot over and over, which is very typical of golf course designs.
Yeah.
And in general, I just felt like this was one of the best disc golf courses I'd ever played. And so I'm going to have to give it a 9.6 out of 10. I don't think it gets much better than that.
It was like
I've played some
into
great
a portal into the future.
I've played some great disc golf courses, and this one, I think it's safe to say, I think this is the best designed, manicured, and respected, as in the players being respected when you're out there, disc golf course I've ever played. So
pretty amazing.
It doesn't, unfortunately, not to spoil the rest of the list, it doesn't get better than that.
Yeah,
so
that was pretty incredible. Next course in Vegas you played was Pecole Ranch. It was kind of a private neighborhood park. A really beautifully manicured park.
Oh, okay, I remember this one now. Fun course.
Yeah, pretty fun. I would give this a fun rating. Like, I think I'll give this a fun rating of like an 8.
Yeah.
Because like, it is a fun course. There's a lot of low ceilings, but because it's really well manicured and it's not super long, like, I would enjoy going to play that
I think
course.
I'm gonna go 7.5 only because it seemed to be a rather busy path.
It wasn't for us.
We were there at a very like random
yeah,
time.
We didn't have a problem with it,
but I could see where things could get like very annoying to play there quickly. So I'm going to go 7-5 just for that reason. Because you were going over or around a lot of walking pads, and where the air you were playing was very tight, so there wasn't really an option of like getting it away from the walking path.
Course design, I'll give them some props because they made a course in a very tiny, like narrow park area. Nothing crazy creative going on though. They mostly just put baskets on the other side of trees, and it's a lot of like pick your line situation. So I'll give it a 5 out of 10.
Yeah, I'll go 5.1 or 5.2 out of 10. It wasn't anything to write home about. It's a fun course if you're in the area. It's definitely worth playing, but I think that some of the shots they were asking you just weren't possible.
So then we go on to Arizona. This was probably our most anticipated stop because the lineup was Fountain Hills and Vista. So we started at Fountain Hills. Fun rating at Fountain Hills. I will give this fun rating a 9 out of 10. I actually give it a 9.5 out of 10 because I would have a – it's an open enough course with some really good views that you would just have a blast playing this course anytime, like in my opinion.
Yeah, I'll go 9.5 out of 10. Yeah, it was a good time. I think the only way you're not having fun is if you don't have enough distance to get over the water.
But I would have a blast playing there anytime. And it's a beautiful park as well. And then course design, nothing crazy creative. They don't have a ton to work with on that property. That you literally play just around the lake. But there are some really cool holes that take advantage of some cool spots. So I'll give it a 7 out of 10.
Yeah. First off, incredible course design, a ton of fun, not good enough for the Pro Tour. Simply
too many hyzers,
simply too easy for the pros.
Yeah.
Trevor and I played out there, and literally the only thing that held us back distance. From being able to reach was just like, okay, but if I had 50 more feet of distance, this hole would be so easy.
Yeah.
And the pros, spoiler alert, the pros throw more than 50 feet farther than us.
Yep.
And it was interesting because like a lot of the holes, like about half the holes seemed farther than they were on camera, and half the holes seemed a lot shorter than they were on camera.
Yeah.
So that was interesting out there. But I do want to just mention that, like, this course was great. I think it's perfect for the All-Star event. I know it's not there anymore, but like an exhibition event like that where it can still be a part, but the Pro Tour can't go back there. Not to mention how busy the park is, and I don't think they can shut it down. But course design wise, I think it was pretty creative with the hillsides and the water in play. I'll go 7.4 out of 10. Because I think it's up there. It's one of the better courses we've played so far.
Really fun.
But when you take out the scenery and the iconness of the course, the iconicness of the course, and just get to the course design part, I think mid-sevens is where I'd put it.
And then we go on to Vista del Camino. Another really good time. I would give the fun rating on this course a 9 out of 10.
Well, first off, this... And I think it's probably safe to say it's going to be by far our biggest gallery for a boogie battle ever.
Yeah, Vista was crazy. A lot of people there.
People turned up. It was awesome.
Also, we played the XL layout at Vista.
Yeah, Vista XL.
And I would give it a 9 out of 10 for fun.
Fun, yeah. I'll go in that same ballpark. Fun, I'll go 9 out of 10 as
Design,
well.
Design, I'm gonna. It is a, I think, a little bit better design course maybe than Fountain.
The tough part is we didn't get to play.
No OB.
We didn't get to play it with the OB.
Right. I think with the OB up, it is a way better course. I think without the OB, it's still fun, but like, it would be a lot more fun for me at least with the OB, like the challenge there. So because we played it without the OB, like I would give the course design. It's designed with the OB. This XL layout that we played is designed with OB and to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen that enough times. And now that I've played it as well, like I could safely give it like an 8 out of 10.
Yeah.
It's a pretty well designed course.
Even without the OB, it played plenty challenging. It played pretty.
Yeah. Cause it's good. Far.
It is a lot closer to tour quality than Fountain Hills.
Yeah.
I still think even with the OB, it's not quite,
there's still some gimmies out there.
Cause there's still just too many,
and
just
some par
easy
fours
holes
that are way too easy, but then there's some
the problem
legit
is,
holes too.
Yeah. There's some par fours that again, challenged Trevor and I, but had we had 50 more feet of distance, the challenge is gone.
Yes.
And so
we, every hole they were like, oh yeah, OB or AB to'd this hole. And we're like, this is 700 feet.
Yeah. The OB, I definitely think would help. I think I'll go. It was definitely better than Fountain. I'll go 8.2 out of 10. It was a very well-designed course, very well thought out. not quite tour level.
All right, and that brings us to today in California.
California.
And we started at La Mirada. Now, unfortunately, we were only able to play just the front course at La Mirada.
Yeah,
which
we couldn't
is,
play the combo wombo.
There wasn't really anything going on in UDisc. It was all like unavailable at the layout, so what the heck, UDisc? Or, well, not UDisc, whoever's running the course out there. I guess the pins weren't even in place.
Yeah, I don't really know what's going
on. But that being said, the park is still really nice. And fun factor, because like we love park style courses, so like fun factor, I would give this an 8.5. Like it's a, you have a fun time at this course.
Yeah, you're gonna go out there and you're gonna have a great time.
Yeah.
Apparently more people like the back course because they're scared of the water. I didn't really think the water came into play
water,
too much. I was kind of confused by that.
Maybe came into play on one hole.
But
and you have to throw
multiple
a bad
people
shot.
Told us like, yeah, we all play the back course because we don't want to throw anything in the water.
Yeah,
and I was like, I was expecting to throw over the water at some point. We never did. Yeah. But it was still a ton of fun. Enough OB that you like have to think about it, but not enough to really come into play. Park style course. I'll go 8.3 out of 10 for fun. Yeah.
Course design on this one, fine. It wasn't repetitive. There were some good holes, some like good uses of mandos to force some creative shots. Yeah, I would give this a 7.5. It's a pretty well designed course.
Yeah, I think it wasn't too repetitive, which I think is what I really dock courses for. It was short, but it had a few, it was all par threes, but it had a few like 400 plus foot par threes. I think I'll go 6.9 on my course design.
And then the final course we played so far is Oak Grove, the original disc golf course.
OG.
I would get this course, like we went to Oak Grove more so because it's the first course, not really.
Yeah, it's the first disc golf course ever. Like it was the first put in with
first
tone
permanent
poles.
Public disc golf course ever.
Yes.
We met the guy who like helped put it in today. It was
cool. PJ number 67, Mr. Mark.
Mark, him and his wife here.
It's hard to take, because if we take away, we had one of the VP of the club with us, Kevin, super, super nice guy. Super helpful. We take him away. We take getting to meet Mark and hearing a lot of history of the sport away.
Mm-hmm.
And we just are at the course.
Not a great course.
Oh, sure. No. Yeah. I'm saying fun-wise.
I think it would be
tough.
I'm going to add to that to my fun rating, like the history part, because like a lot of people that would go to, a lot of people that would care about our fun rating are probably going to think about like your first time going there, or if I were to go visit there.
Yeah.
And it being that it is historic, you will have like add a little more fun to it. So I'll give this course a fun rating of like a 7.
Yeah. Okay. I can get on that.
It was a good time.
Now, if you happen to have,
if you happen to have
the tour guide situation we have, it's a 10 out of 10. I had a blast out there because it was very cool. Like, the 2-meter rule, for instance, playing that course, I can see why they came up with the idea for the 2-meter rule.
Yeah.
This makes sense. If this was the course I played all the time, I can see it. You can just chuck up in that tree.
Yeah.
And if your buddy's chucking in that tree every time, you're going to get pissed if he has a birdie putt for two when you throw the correct line, you don't.
Course design was actually pretty good.
Yeah, so I don't know. We didn't get to play the full layout because there was a camp going on there, so they had to like remove a few holes. But we were still able to get a lot of them in.
It was actually pretty decent. Like it wasn't a pretty park, so like that, it's tough for me to like, okay, like let me remove that, because like it wasn't a very beautiful park. Like we'd have been at La Mirada that morning, much more beautiful park. So I'll give it a 7.5 though for course design, because there were some pretty good shots and a pretty good variety of shots.
Yeah, again, it didn't ask you to repeat. Like I wasn't going back to the same disc over and over and over.
Yeah.
Or if I did, I was throwing it on different angles. Because I threw my MD3 a lot, but I threw it on hyzer and hyzer flat. I threw it a lot of different ways. It did ask you to open up a little bit. There's a hole over 400 feet.
Yeah.
It had some very unique lines. We didn't get to play the spider tree. I was a little sad about that. But course design, I'll go 7.3 in the grand scheme of courses. I think it was about as good as you can do with that property, though.
Yeah.
I don't think you could do much better.
Right. It's not a fantastic property.
And again, you're not going there to play the best disc golf course you've ever seen. You're going there because it's the history of the sport. They even have, it's called the Iron Maiden. It's like a sculpture that was built in honor of like the first disc golf basket and stuff. So there's a lot of cool history. They actually just got some funding apparently to redo tees, put some new tee signs in, fix up some of the baskets, and even put a like kiosk that'll have like some of the history of the game when you first show up.
Yeah, that'd be super cool.
So that'll up the fun scale. Also, if you've ever watched the Wintertime Open, like I have a bajillion times, then it was a very recognizable course. Pretty much every hole, I was like, oh, this isn't where the pin is. I remember it being over here, but like I knew exactly what I was playing. So that was fun too. I liked experiencing that. I'm expecting that's what De La will be like a lot tomorrow.
Yeah.
So, all right, let's wrap it up with Trevor's trivia.
Well, first, before that, we're going to talk a little bit about our presenting sponsors, Flippy Disc Golf. Flippy are one of the huge reasons that we're out here on this tour right now. If you haven't seen them before, they do all kinds of disc golf apparel. We've been wearing their stuff this entire trip. They hooked us up. Yeah, Hunter's wearing one of the t-shirts, as am I right now. But they do a lot of like dry fit stuff that's perfect for disc golf. If you checked out Flippy way back in the past, they used to use a different material, but now they're rocking with this new Soul Pro.
Yeah, their older material I would describe as a little bit more like cotton performance. So if that sounds like what you have, you don't have their new stuff.
Yeah, now they have a new Soul Pro material that is much more of a traditional dry fit. It's very premium dry fit. They do a lot of cool designs. We actually have our own collection on the site. You can check out the link in the description. We have our own collection on the site that are designs that we kind of did West Coast inspired, and we worked with Aaron, the owner, to kind of create things that we liked. And yeah, they've been great. So make sure to check out Flippy for all your apparel needs. We got to meet Aaron out here on the trip. Aaron's the man, very cool guy. So that was really nice. But yeah, make sure to check that out. And now I will get into my trivias.
Yeah, highly recommend the polos.
Yeah,
if you're looking for a good polo for your tournament,
so good.
Pick up one of our Foundation Disc Golf curated polos. Okay.
So PDGA USAMs just went down.
Yes.
Shout out to Ryan Mulder. He won MA1.
Young kid. I'm pretty sure he's like 15, if I'm not mistaken.
Won by 7.
Good
absolute
for him.
Beast. What do you rate? 10.56, 10.26. For the first couple rounds, that's pretty good. Anyway, so that my question here, our Trevor's trivia is, you know, did I screenshot it? Maybe not. Here we go. There's quite a few recognizable names that were also USAM champions. So I want to see how many past champions that you can name that are now on the tour. And this would just be MPO.
Past USAM champions.
Honestly, just if you can just. Yeah.
I think Paul Ulibarri won.
He's not on this list.
Never mind. So he came in second. I think Paul McBeth won.
Also not on this list.
He must have also come in second. Ricky Wysocki, then.
Mm-mm. Ricky lost to somebody who is on this list that I know. You also know. You can actually find coverage of this out there. The guy that Ricky lost to, everybody thought was going to be like the next.
David Wiggins Jr.?
Yep.
Oh, I didn't realize he beat Rick.
He beat Rick at the toboggan course.
Pretty electric. All right. That might be the only one I'm going to get.
No,
Big Germ?
You should definitely be able to name one other.
Nope. I've never really paid attention to USAMs. Because like USAM and US World, I know there's US World's course or AM
this
World's
one guy,
course.
This one guy you would know has won both of them, and he won them in the same year.
AM World's? Gannon Burr.
I think he was the only one, no.
Did Gannon Burr win USAMs?
He's not
like, what the frick? I don't know, man.
This person was the first person to ever do this. I don't know that anybody else has done it since.
To win both of them in the same year?
Yeah. Happened in 2015, I believe.
The frick if I know. I wasn't even
playing
disc golf yet.
I have
yet.
A disc that commemorates it in my bag.
Anthony Barella?
Yeah. He won with that sick shot down that giant hill. It beat Isaac McDonald, man.
Okay, I did see that coverage. I remember I almost named Isaac McDonald, but I was like, that guy's not touring.
Yeah. There are other recognizable names on this list.
I've guessed all the ones I could think of.
Okay, well, you don't know nearly as many as I thought. I also thought you may have just seen
I've
this
never
post.
Watched USAMs. I don't really pay attention to amateur disc golf that much, other than college disc golf.
Other notable names on this list. Ben Callaway.
Nope.
Colton Montgomery.
No clue.
Gavin Rathbun.
Wow.
Kyle Klein and Robert Burge.
Robert Burge, I almost guessed, but I was like, I know he was like really good at nationals. I don't know if he won USAMs.
Yeah, I'm very surprised that
I didn't know any of those.
That Macbeth and
came in.
I'll tell you this much: if PDGA put out this graphic and didn't, and like those guys had one and they didn't put him on the list,
probably hadn't. I was throwing shots at the dark because as soon as you brought that question up, I'm like, I'm not gonna know. Any
I mean,
of this.
I know for a fact that Wiggins beat Ricky when Ricky was like at the height of his AM, and in the coverage, they're like, both these guys are turning pro next year, and the rest of the infield would probably be happy for that. And David Wiggins is throwing like 700-foot bombs.
I've never watched that.
It's like the coolest thing ever.
Yeah, I watched the AB one. That I think that's the only USAMs I ever watched.
It's electric.
When I got into disc golf, there was just so much.
I don't know. See, here's the thing: is that coverage I was just mentioning, that might have been Worlds. That might have not even been
AM disc. So Paul came in second at Amateur Worlds. In 2007.
Who did he lose to?
To Greg Schwartz.
And who's that guy?
That's what I'm saying.
Is that guy rated... What is he rated now?
He was rated 936 back
then.
Is
he still a PDGA? Like, I love doing this little game.
Nope.
Doesn't even have a membership anymore.
Career earnings were $5,000.
But he'll always have that he beat Paul Macbeth. One thing that was pretty cool is we went to the Huntington Beach course. We had a little event there where... And that's where Paul kind of cut his teeth. That's where he grew up. And they have, like, a pro shop there. And it has, like... former Huntington Beach players that are world champions or whatever. And it's just, there's like a couple other people, and there's Paul's name a bunch of times.
They had it updated as of 2021, too.
Pretty electric.
Or 2022, I mean. Okay, let's look at Yuli. I thought Yuli won some AM event. Oh, he won AM Worlds.
AM Worlds.
Okay, so I was thinking AM Worlds. Yuli has the AM Worlds course.
Not many have the AM World Slam.
Does Big Germ have the AM Worlds?
The AM Grand Slam?
I think Germ got... I think he came in second because the like running joke is like people who won AM Worlds never go on to win a lot in the pro scene. Well, like on the touring pro scene.
Dang.
It's like the AM World course curse. Let's see here. Big Germ. I think he did something in AM, but I could be wrong.
It was a long time ago.
Yeah, he won AM Worlds. There you go.
He did. There you go.
There you go. So I was just thinking AM Worlds. AM Worlds and USAMs are the same in my head.
Fair enough.
Well, shout out who won AM Worlds or USAMs right then?
It was Mulder. What was his first name?
Ryan.
Ryan Mulder.
Congrats, Ryan Mulder. USAMs is a big accomplishment because I know it's kind of tough to qualify for points-wise and stuff. I think I qualified for it 1 year, but I wasn't making the trip up to Michigan.
Well, also, you have to kind of like commit to keeping your AM status as well. Mm-hmm. That's honestly mm-hmm. the hardest thing because a lot of these guys that win these AM tournaments are staying
staying AM just to win USAM.
Right. Like, they could, I mean, he's 990 rated. He could make a few $1,000s a year.
Because that's what, like, players when I decided to cash because I was like looking at AM Worlds and USAMs. And what I realized was like there were so many guys that were staying AM just because they wanted to win AM Worlds or USAMs. Yeah. And I was like, that's too much pressure.
Yeah.
You, like, play open and turn down cash for an entire year.
They'll be like, all right, this is my last year. Like, I'm going to stay AM.
Yeah, and it's like, if I don't...
Gosh.
Because if you show up to that event and you lose, you probably won 10 to 15 MPO events on your home course, like home courses. You probably turned down, like, a few grand to play USAMs. And then you lose it, and you're like...
It'll be like all those discs you got
you're
instead.
Like, well, crap. Like, gosh darn it.
Yeah.
Which, I guess, if you take the AM cash and you sell the discs.
I wonder what AM has... Yeah, there's definitely a way around it. I wonder what AM has turned down the most cash in PDGA history. I would love to know that stat. Stat Mando, if you're listening, I know we flamed you earlier for the strength of schedule thing.
You can make it up.
You can make it up to us by figuring out who's turned down the most cash ever.
Why do I feel like... Didn't someone like... get pretty high at a pro tour and was thinking about turning down cash?
Like, imagine if an AM won a pro tour
and turned a major
and turned down the cash, like 10 grand. Like, no, I want to win AM Worlds.
A major, I don't think they would.
I don't think they would in an elite series either.
I could see a silver event being as high as someone would turn down.
Yeah, a few grand. You gotta really care about that AM World.
Well,
though.
Like if AM Worlds is next week, I'm signed up. I'm playing just silver event rolls into town. I play it. I win.
You win like $3,000.
Well, but you got to think of what winning AM Worlds could mean for you versus just like cashing in a silver event.
No, no, I'm saying you win the silver event.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, it's like
winning the silver event does a lot more for you than being an AM World champion. Nobody. Who won last year's AM Worlds?
Who won two silver events ago?
I mean, I could probably figure that out if you give me enough time.
Go ahead.
Two silver events ago?
I don't even know what the tournament was.
It was Cascade, wasn't it?
And before that,
it was Beaver State.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So who won Beaver State?
Beaver State was won by... Give me a second. I know that Jen Allen won FPO.
Yeah.
And MPO was won by...
Eagle McMahon.
Yeah. There you go. See?
That was two events ago versus last year's AM World.
You were the one that made that argument.
Yeah, I was just not saying. Me. It was that hard to come up
with. This guy's crazy. He literally, you draw an argument on me, and then you proof, like, what the heck?
Who won Cascade?
You're a gaslighter, dude.
Oh, it should be very easy to remember, too. So who won what was the second silver event of the year?
You made the argument, and then you literally disproved yourself.
Who won Lake Marshall?
Last year? Luke Sampson.
Was that right?
Yeah.
But I don't know.
I'm just saying, like, yeah, you made the argument.
I was just saying.
Leave me out of this, dude.
Two events ago should be a lot easier to remember for silver event. And it was Eagle McMahon, his only win.
The bottom line is if you win AM Worlds, you get, like, one little post from PDGA.
But you get sponsored.
Yeah, if you win a silver event, you're not sponsored. You're also getting sponsored. Come on now. You just hate silver events, but you...
I think I would rather have an AM World title. I would actually... I can confidently say I'd rather have an AM World title than a silver event
I wouldn't
rather have a USAM title than a silver event.
Because a silver event win probably means that you beat a handful of the top players
in the world. It could mean you beat no one.
There's never been a
Lake
silver
Marshall.
Event. You beat Chris Dickerson.
Where do you put him in your world ranking right now?
That doesn't... At the time, he was top five. Oh my goodness. I'm done with this podcast. You're ridiculous.
I would rather have an AM World title.
The title sounds cool.
I wouldn't rather have a USAM.
But like USAM, I'd rather have a silver event. You beat all the AMs versus you beat the pro field with good pros in it.
Sometimes.
At least one or two every time.
That would be an interesting strength of field. Go AM Worlds to a silver event. Can we do that?
It sure wouldn't be interesting. The silver event would have a much higher strength of
but
field.
But, like, it might be closer than we think.
Mm-mm.
It could be.
That USAM, the highest rated player, was probably, like, 990.
USAM, I'm fully on the same page as you. So, but AM Worlds, I'm just curious.
Okay.
There's no stat man that doesn't have AM ones.
Okay. Good.
Something to think about.
Mm-mm.
I would take an AM World title. I do need to go to sleep.
I believe you.
I think most people listen. Comment down below. Actually, that'd be a fun way to end it out. Comment down below if you'd rather have an amateur. That's actually a good tweet. Probably not for me because
would
people
would
think.
Would you rather win AM Worlds or a Silver Series event?
Yeah, I think that's a good. You should tweet it because I can't tweet it because it has silver event in it. So it's immediately a hot button topic for me and people are going to answer biasly. But that's a good tweet.
Okay.
Because I don't know. I think it'd be a pretty split decision.
Because
one year world champ.
Here's the thing. I don't know how people are going to.
1 year silver event.
Right. I don't know how people are going to interpret it because, like, world title sounds great until you realize, like, do you think that the silver event is a more impressive win? Regardless of, because this, well, I think you have to say yes. The strength of field is just so much better.
It's more impressive, but I'm saying like what it does for a career, I think in the grand scheme of things is less than AM
World.
What
is it? Why?
Is AM World the biggest win Ulibarri's ever had?
I don't know. That's ruthless.
As a question.
I don't know. I don't think so. I think he's won some other things. A couple things.
All right. Well, there you go. You comment that below. Down below. Would you rather have an amateur world title or a silver event title? You can't pick your silver event. It's randomly assigned to you because obviously you could pick like a stacked field silver event. And sure, it's basically like winning a pro tour. But would you rather have a silver event title or AM World title? That's how we're going to end up the podcast. We'll talk to you again next week when we wrap up DDO.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need.
That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
High Five Casino lets you play your favorite slot and live table games, like blackjack, with the chance to redeem for real cash prizes. High Five Casino has a giant selection of over 1,200 games, including hundreds of exclusive games only found on High Five Casino. It's always free to play, and free coins are given out every 4 hours. Ready to have your own High Five moment? Visit highfivecasino.com. That's high, the number 5, casino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. Must be 21 years or older. Terms and conditions apply.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it, Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.